Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. The door was shut. Afterward came also the others, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man will come. Our Lord Jesus says in verse 13 what he has said in verse 44, and this is quite evidently our Lord Jesus telling us that there's a day coming for which we need to be prepared. Now, this is a very simple story, very simple, but it's very serious. So simple and yet so serious. Here we've got this parable. Our Lord Jesus says in the opening verse, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like. And our Lord Jesus was always illustrating. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. We who are preachers, we should illustrate, explaining what the kingdom of heaven is like. And our Lord Jesus says it's like 10 bridesmaids at a wedding. And when the time comes, the bridegroom arrives, and they should all go in with the bridegroom. Our Lord Jesus says only 5 go in and 5 are kept out. And he says that this is what it's going to be like at the end of the world. Therefore, we should be ready and prepared. Watch therefore, verse 13, watch. You know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. He will either come to take us in death, or he will come in the clouds and we shall see him. But our Lord Jesus Christ is coming for us. He's coming for those who are his own people, and he's coming also to those who are not his people. And the question tonight is, how is it with you? How is it with you? Well, this story is quite simple. The scene is a typical marriage ceremony, Jewish. And here it is in Palestine 2,000 years ago. And the 10 really are the equivalent to what we would understand as bridesmaids. The marriage would be in 3 parts, the engagement, the betrothal, and then the marriage itself. And almost the entire community would come to the marriage. But there were those who were special and they were in the party, and these 10 girls are represented. They would go around the streets, parade around the streets, go in with the bridegroom to the feast. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is about our being fitted to be right with God. Right with God. We were born wrong with God. And until we're saved, until we are born again, until we are made Christians, we are wrong with God. Now, it's a bad thing to be wrong with anybody. You might be wrong with somebody at work, or maybe some other student, or maybe some member of the family, and the relationship's not right. I don't know about you, but I always feel dreadful when it's like that with any human person. You know, there's something between us. When you meet, it's not quite as it should be. Well, that's bad enough. But when we're not right with God, when we're not right with God, we were all born commandment breakers, all born sinners, all born enemies of God. And God did something about it. Long before the world began, he had a marvelous, marvelous plan that he would save sinners. He would make them right with himself. He would work marvelously with his Son and with the Holy Spirit. And there would be a program whereby sinners were invited to come to him. Whosoever will, let him come. Is there somebody here tonight and you say, well, I'm too young? No, no, no. Or somebody here tonight and you say, I'm too old. No, 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 no. Somebody says, I'm too bad. Not many of them these days, but there are a few. You might think you're too bad. Whosoever will, let him come. And probably if you're unsaved, you think you're too good. Oh, no. Nobody's too good. No, we're sinners. And we need God to save us. God sent his son to the cross. Now, we would never have thought of doing that. If somebody had said to us now, how can we work out a plan that all these sinners, they can have their sins forgiven? We would have thought something totally different. But here God, he works out a plan. He says, now, this will be the price. My son, my only begotten, sinless son, will go to the cross and he'll die in the place of all those who trust him. And if they will trust him, all their sins will be forgiven. And they'll be right with me. And that's becoming a Christian. And then the end of the story, which is illustrated in the parable, is that one day, those who are right with God will go in with the bridegroom. They'll go in to heaven with Christ. Those who are not right will be kept out. Just look at the story and see how our Lord Jesus shows us, first of all, the wonder of those that went in. What do we notice about them? Well, we notice this, first of all, that they went in readily. They went in readily. They weren't forced in. Somebody didn't get a hold of them and twist their arm behind their back and say, "In you." No. They went in readily and willingly. We're told here in verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in. Who went in? They that were ready. Who went in? They that were ready. Who went in? They that were ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Has God made you ready? Can you say tonight as you kneel before God, can you say, oh God, you've made me ready. If you should come now, I'm ready. If you should take me now, I'm ready. Isn't that a wonderful word? So simple. So simple a word. Ready. And I don't suppose we could have a congregation like this. Well, we could, but it would be unlikely that we could have a congregation like this and every single one of us was ready. I know some of you are ready. God bless you. Saved by God's grace. Made a Christian. Washed in the blood of Christ. Looking to Jesus alone. I know some of you are ready. But of course, I don't know you all. And I wonder, those of you here tonight, and you're in church, but you're not ready. Nicodemus, he was in church every week. And I think he was an elder, but he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. And he came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him, you need to be born again. He didn't know what he was talking about. Well, whether he understood or not, he should have said, well, if that's what you say, I'll have to get down to this. Are you ready? Are you? Some of you, I imagine, you've sat in this church many a Sunday night. And Mr. Hemmings has preached his heart out and shown you your sin and shown you Jesus, the Savior. And he's pleaded with you and pleaded with you. But maybe you're not ready. Not ready? Oh, God help you tonight. There were some of them, and they went in. Who went in? They that were ready. Have you been made ready? Have you come to Christ and confessed your sin and asked him to be your Savior and your Lord? Will you do it? Will you do it? This is how they got in. They were ready. That's all. Ready. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You remember the chapter, the first chapter of the New Testament. It'll be read at Christmas time. It's read at other times as well, but it's nearly always read at Christmas time. Matthew chapter 1, and it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, For he shall save, what's the next two words? His people from their sins. He shall save his people. Are you one of his people? Have you been born into his family? Not everybody belongs to God. Only those that are born into his family. I don't own all the children in the world. Only those in my family. We've got four. Only four children can call me father. And that's enough, I tell you. Well, and we have to be in God's family. Born again. Who went in? Those that were ready. They went in readily. Now, the second thing I notice here, our Lord Jesus teaches us, is that they not only went in readily, but they went in confidently. They went in confidently. How do we get that? Well, here it is. It says, if you notice, they that were ready went in with him. With him. Oh, that's a difference. That's a difference. They went in with him. Imagine trying to get into heaven on your own. Hey? Imagine me trying to get into heaven. Oh, there'd be some angels say, hey, where do you think you're going? Where do you think you're going? Who are you? I remember once preaching in a place, and it was I just had to go to the place for one day and then preach the next day. It was two afternoon services, and I was staying with some people overnight. And this lady said to me, she seemed to be in charge of everything. She said to me, who are you staying with? So she said, well, I'll drive you over there. Oh, I said, thank you. So as we begin to drive, she said, you know they're not back until tonight? Well, I said, I didn't know that. No, they're not back until 8 o'clock or something. So we're driving along, great big long bonnet, and she's sitting behind driving. As we're going along, she said, are you hungry? Well, I didn't like to say yes, because I thought that might sound rude. And I didn't want to say no, because she was asking me, was I hungry? So I said, well, I don't know what I said. Well, you know. And then she said, I feel like something to eat. Well, I thought, where's this coming from, you know? Anyway, we drove along. She said, we'll call in, get something to eat. Then I thought to myself, where are we going to call in? Because I didn't have any money. And she was a lady, so I suppose I should pay for me and her. We're driving along. She turns into these gates. And I see a big sign. Country Club. Oh, I thought, this is someplace. And up the steps, there was the doorman in full uniform and cap. Oh, I thought, I'm in for it here. I've got no money, and this is going to be a fat bill, this is. Well, she parked the car, and she walked up the steps, and I followed her. And as she walked up the steps, she said, good afternoon, John. And he said, good afternoon, ma'am. So I walked after her, and I said, good afternoon, John. And he said, good afternoon, sir, as if to say, where have you come from? Anyway, we went in. Sat at this big table. It was overlooking the sea. Beautiful place it was. Big round table. She sat one side, I sat the other. She ordered. I ordered something that was a little bit less on the menu than what she'd ordered. And I was wondering when it was. I was going to have to say, excuse me, but could I borrow some money from you? Anyway, then a waiter came and, anything else, Mrs. Jamieson? No, she said, that will do. What number was it, Mrs. Jamieson? 742. This went on her bill. Obviously, she was a regular. 742. I thought, if he comes to me, shall I say 742? I didn't know what to do. So just as he looked a little nonplussed, she said the magic words. She said, he's with me. He wrote down, there it was, on her bill. He's with me. Oh, did I relax. Oh, I tell you, I sat back. I began to look out of the window and admire the view. I'd been in a real flurry before then. How am I going to get out of this? He's with me. He's with me. And I tell you, dear friend, when I stand at heaven's gate and I go to enter, and some nosy Parker and angel says to me, hey, where are you going? I'll say, I'm with him. Or he'll say, he's with me. The Lord Jesus will say, he's with me. He's with me. Those that were ready went in with him. With him. Oh, are you with him tonight? Have you got Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Your personal friend. The one who will take you into heaven itself, into the very presence of the holiness of God. Why, and there's not an angel amongst all the myriads of them that would be able to keep you out. They went in with him. Oh, and I'm sure they went in confidently. Confidently? Yes. Dear friends, it's a wonderful thing to be right with God. They didn't go in on their own. They didn't go in just because they were Christians, so-called. They didn't go in just because perhaps they'd read their Bible sometime. No, they went in with him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you become a Christian, he becomes a permanent friend with him. Do you have that confidence tonight? Or maybe you're trusting yourself. Maybe you're trusting yourself. The other week I was getting my hair cut, and the lady that was cutting it, well, I don't know whether she was cutting it or looking for it, but there she was, and she was working away, and I said to her, Joanne, I said, if you died tonight, where would you go? Oh, she said, I would go to heaven. I said, is that right? I said, how do you make that out? Well, she said, I've always been a good girl. Oh, I said, I've got bad news for you. What's that? I said, Jesus didn't come. He didn't come for good people. Didn't come for good people. He came for bad people. Oh, she said, I've always been a good girl. I said, he didn't come. He specifically said, I'm not come to call the good, but sinners. Oh, she said, you mean I'm going down there? I could see her in the mirror. Do you mean I'm going down there? I said, what I mean is, that you and I need Jesus Christ because we're sinners. How many people think that or give that answer? Oh, I'm going to heaven. I've always been a good girl. I've always been a good fellow. Have you now? Have you now? The Bible says that you've not always been a good girl. You've not always been a good fellow. No. You've broken the law of God. You're guilty before God. And the Bible tells us that every mouth will be stopped. Every mouth protesting his own goodness will be stopped. Stopped. And all the world guilty before God. Guilty. To hear these, they went in confidently because they were with him. Oh, don't be trusting yourself, my friend. Jesus came to save sinners. If sinners could save themselves, he wouldn't have had need to come. But he did come. Are you saved? Are you ready? Will you go into heaven readily and confidently? And there's something else here. They went in happily. Well, you say, how do you know that? Well, it's here. Jesus says so. They that were ready went in with him to the wedding. Hasn't the devil told you time and again that if you become a Christian, it'll just be like going to a funeral every day of your life? Why, the devil says, you've been miserable enough, haven't you? You don't want to be taking on this Christianity. You'll be even worse. Why, you'll be miserable every day of your life. It's like going to a funeral, is it? Jesus said that to go in with him is like going to a wedding. Going to a wedding where people go and they put on their best clothes. They go and they give presents. There's a meal. People rejoice with each other because this couple are together and they're happily together. So people go to share their happiness. Jesus said that the gospel and coming to him is like going to a wedding. The joy of God. Oh, the joy of God. And this place to which we are going, it's a place of joy, you know, because the Bible tells us that in this place there's no pain, there's no night, there's no curse, there's no separation, no crying, no sorrow, no death, and best of all, no sin. What a place. What a place. No wonder they went in happily. So here they are. And these five, and Jesus says these were wise, they went in readily, they went in confidently, and they went in happily. They also went in eternally. How do I know that? Oh, they weren't going in and out, you know. Oh, no, no, no. They weren't saved one day and lost the next. No, no, sir, they weren't. They went in, and Jesus says, the door was shut. The door was shut. Remember the story of Noah and the ark? There were only eight in. But when the eight were in, the Lord shut the door. So that those that were in couldn't get out. Not that they wanted to get out, because outside was all judgment and flood. But those that were in couldn't get out. My dear friend, when the door was shut, those that were out couldn't get in. Will you remember that? Will you remember that? Will you remember that according to this teaching of our Lord Jesus, there will be a day when the door will be shut? Here are these. They went in readily, confidently, happily, eternally, shut in with Christ. And then Jesus says, afterward came the others also. There's an afterward. After the door is shut, the others came. Jesus said that these five, they were foolish because they weren't ready. But they came. And they came. And what happens? Well, according to the passage here, we see that though they weren't ready then, they want to be ready now. And that's what's going to happen in eternity, you know. Jesus told another story in Luke's gospel about a man who'd lived for himself and he'd lived for his friends and all the rest of it, and he died. Never bothered about God, never bothered about salvation, never bothered about mercy. He had no time or inclination for any of that stuff. Jesus said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. What did he say? Father Abraham, have mercy on me. It's too late. Jesus teaches us there's a time and it's too late. When is the right time to get saved? When you're young? When you're old? When's the best time? The Bible gives one word of three letters. Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Well, these five foolish girls, the Lord Jesus says, he says, they're coming now when it's too late. They're coming now. Then it says, then came also the others. Oh, they're coming now. Don't you come when it's too late. Now is the accepted time. Now? Who are you? Who am I speaking to tonight in particular? What's your name? How old are you? What's your name? And you haven't come yet. Now? Would God do you some harm if you came to him? Would Jesus Christ? Would Jesus Christ turn you upside down and throw you somewhere? Hurt you, and harm you, grieve you? Not at all. Came to save people just like you, dear friend. He's the Son of God's love. He's the gospel of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Loved. They're coming now, but it's too late. And they're asking now, Lord, Lord, open to us. Well, they hadn't bothered before. When they saw the wise, going to get their oil. Oh, they didn't have time for that. They didn't have inclination. They had other things to do. They would do it later, you know. People say, well, I'll do this, become a Christian when I get older. Oh, watch it now. The devil, he loves to hear that, you know. The old devil loves to hear that. You young people, you're going to become a Christian when you get older, aren't you? Now, you be careful. They were going to get ready. Oh, yeah, but they weren't ready. And they come asking now, Lord, Lord, open to us. They're coming now. They're asking now. And they're hoping now. What words are those? I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh, that God would save us everyone from ever hearing those words. I never knew you. But Lord, we're here. I know you're here now. You see, it was like this. They are ready for the bridegroom now, but the bridegroom's not ready for them. Not ready for them. There is a time to be right with God, and it's now. There's a time to be ready, and it's now. And God has sent me here tonight with this poor sermon to drum into your unbelieving ears that the time to be saved is now. Our Lord Jesus says, here are 10 girls, 5 are wise, they were ready now. 5 foolish, they said, oh, it'll do later on. Oh, will it? Will it? My spirit shall not always strive with man. Is God calling you tonight? God's calling you. God's calling you. Whoever you are. Whether you're religious or irreligious, rich or poor, young or old, God calls you. Calls you to be ready. Oh, my dear friend, there's a great pardon waiting for all who come to Christ. A great peace waiting for all who come to Christ. They that were ready went in. They went in readily. Confidently, happily. Where are you tonight? Are you in Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you? Young people, are you right with God? You older people, the years have gone by. God's called you. In His mercy, He's not called you home yet. He's not called you to death yet. In His mercy, He gives His opportunity. Oh, hear His voice. What a Savior. What a Savior. We bow in prayer. A few moments of silent prayer. Christians, in these moments, praise God that He saved you. Thank Him that He's made you ready. You who know not Christ, will you trust Him tonight? Will you say tonight, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And please save me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Please save me. O loving Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to Thee. Pray that Thy grace will be sufficient for every one of us. Pray for those that know Thee not. May it please Thee to come by Thy Holy Spirit and convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Draw them to Thyself, Lord. Draw them to Thyself, as it shall please Thee. Thank Thee for the Savior's teaching in this parable. O Lord, give us ears to hear eyes to see, minds to understand, and hearts to be obedient to thy word. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.